Welcome to your Generic Live Show.
Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. As per always, it's hour two of the program. Thanks for joining us. It's a pleasure to be here. As always, we're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. It's so good to be here, actually. I'm quite enjoying it. It's hour two of the program. We are doing it at a very special time of at 8 till 10 p.m. today only. It's actually not a bad time slot. I actually like being pushed forward an hour. I don't mind it. So because of maintenance that needs to be done to the network, so we're pushed forward an hour, shoved into the 6 to 8 a.m. time slot, which I don't mind. I like that time slot. It's good. The earlier the better for me, really. So get to bed. I'm working all day on a Sunday at the moment. I'm not complaining by any stretch of the imagination. I'm quite enjoying the job. It's full on sometimes, but it's challenging. But I'm working all day, so I started about 7 in the morning and finished about 4 in the afternoon, and then I've got the show to do. So today was not a mad rush to get stuff done before the show, because had the show prepped before coming on. But it's a mad rush to just, you know how you have those afternoons where you feel like you've got lots to do, and we do have a lot to do, including a Eurovision update this time around, haven't I? And you would think, again, we've been on the air for coming into our 3rd year, I want to say. We turned 3 this year, so, and it's hard to, you know, keep talking about new things. So there you go. The more you know. And I can't believe I haven't done a Mother's Day segment. Happy Mother's Day, by the way, for those hardworking mothers out there. We did a Mother's Day segment in hour one of the program. You can get that on podcast as well. Might make it that clip of the week. I don't know what clip of the week will be. Last week's clip of the week, which, yes, by the way, the podcast will be up in the feed. Technical issues with that one. There was apparently a mic issue at last week, so we'll get working on that one. There was a mic issue, so I don't think my mic was on, but it was an issue with it. So we're going to try and work the magic, so it'll be up on the feed shortly. But last week, the naked yoga one, that's got to be my favorite thing in the world. There you go. Anyway, we're not talking about speaking of naked yoga, things that you missed from the 2017 Australian federal budget that was handed down on Tuesday. Don't worry, we'll give you a last minute roundup of the budget, rapid fire style. But here's some of the weird and quirky things from the 2017 budget. And I don't know what this 50 second clip is, but
we're talking about different household types here. Who are the winners?
The real winners here are upper income earners earning more than $180,000. They will see money in their pockets because the budget repair levy that was put on a couple of years ago comes off. The word temporary actually meant temporary.
Well, that's good news. Who are the losers?
The real losers here are lower income families who currently receive family tax benefits who don't have children in childcare. They will see a reduction in their take home payments from the family tax benefits.
And what do you think the message is that the government's trying to send through this budget?
This is a real passive budget. The government had actually foreshadowed much bigger changes and much deeper cuts for families on family tax benefits. Those changes didn't get through the Senate, and so what we've seen is really a very moderate series of changes.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Thank you.
Sorry about that turning into AM radio there. There you go. The Generic Live Show. Generic Live Show. Live in stereo. It did turn into a bit AM talk back there. We have done that, by the way. There's a pre-show tape somewhere in the Ibiza that I might put up one day where we did a show in AM. It was sassy as all get out, but we did do it, and it's like me talking about this and me cutting away to a song, and I sound like I'm in an AM tube. There you go. But that's really the 50-second roundup of the budget, so there you go. The devil is in the detail, according to the old cliche, so it is with the federal budget. While the top line items of any Treasurer's budget speech outlines the government's broad narrative, buried deep in the appendices are the line items that can reveal much more about the government's real priorities. So here are some of the weird and wonderful things that were pulled out of this year's appendices. We've found out how much the gold past will cost us. So it's a beloved by former politicians. It's not quite as exclusive as it once was. The gravy train is well and truly over for retired MPs. It's now been revealed that the Life Gold Pass, which gives ex-parliamentarians virtually unrestricted travel entitlements, cost taxpayers more than $500,000 a year, while former prime ministers, with the exception to the rule, everyone else will have to travel in cattle class, as in economy, for those not in the lingo. Australia will dominate the comm games, probably. The disappointments of Rio Olympics will be but a bit of memory when Australia completely dominates next year's Commonwealth Games on the back of $15.5 million provided to the Australian Sports Commission to support athletes in the lead-up to the Conradal showpiece. There you go. The census debacle has not been forgotten. There you go. Thankfully, Jesus. The public support staffing levels say... staying about the same, but Australian Bureau of Statistics is taking a huge hit, losing 14% of its workforce. The HRC is more light than we thought. The Human Rights Commission many times has clashed with the government has clashed with the HRC over the last couple of years, but it'll boost. It'll add on 5 more staff. There you go. 5 more staff. Yay. It's time for... We covered this last hour, but it's time for... roll up your own smokers to pay. Thank God. Finally. Adding it to taxing on... as manufactured cigarettes. I'm shocked that this hasn't happened before. I'm actually... Not appalled, but I'm still shocked that it hasn't happened before. Tetris is not just a computer game. Operation Tetris may sound like the government's IT help desk gets up to when incoming call volumes are low, but in fact it's a serious government program with big savings at stake, requiring departments to fill vacant office space in its buildings. The government believe it can save up to $300 million over 10 years. Overseas perks are less perky. $37 million, that's what you call a saving. That's how much the government will take over 4 years, standardising allowances for public servants. Travel perks for property investors are being cut. Even defence... aren't safe from developers. Housing, freeing up Commonwealth land. In Melbourne, that includes 127 hectares of defence land to be allowed for 600 more homes. Oof. Animal testing is on its way out. The government will spend $2.1 million over 2 years to keep its 2016 election promise to ban cosmetic testing on animals and it to be completely end by the end of 2018. There you go. Curfball coming to a television near you, maybe. What? A sports lover, enough for $30 million to celebrate. 4 years will be the amount on broadcasting underrepresented sports on pay TV. There you go. A plan ahead for sunny days, as there's a $400,000 injection going into the Bureau of Meteorology. Wind energy is so passe, solar terminal is getting a $110 million boost. Where are we here? A new forum for self-respected parties in family law disputes created on the back of $12.7 million over the next 4 years. Exploring into space commits $26.1 million over 4 years. tackling the hackers, investing 10.7 over 4 years to combat cybersecurity, and no more coup de l'état. What? I don't understand that joke. Commit $79 million over 4 years to deliver a police development program to its neighbor, the Solomon Islands. And the funding comes after the conclusion of the regional assistance mission, which will end on June 30th. So there you go. There's some things you may have missed, some things you may have gotten from the budget. It's going to be a race. Return to surplus by 2020, 2021. Again, a lot of 20s in there. Unemployment to fall to 5.25% by 2020-2021. Inflation to be up at 2.5% by 2021. Revenue to be up at 4.76.1 billion by 2019. Real GDP to be up at 3% by 2021. Net debt of GDP. Phrasing on that one's terrible. To be at 8.5% by 2028. This is a huge tentpole of this budget, the ability to salary sacrifice into superannuation. That is huge. People can contribute a total of 30,000 into their super on top of complementary contributions, or they can salary sacrifice $15,000 a year. Of course, superannuation is taxed at a lower rate. University students to be hit hard at the pocketbook, as student loans will we have to be paid back at 42,000 as opposed to the previous 55. And higher education fee contributions to be increased by 7.5%, phased in over 4 years from 2018. Again, the cuts to welfare payments for those not in early learning centres, a bunch of money going into various programs there. A new job seeker payment will consolidate seven existing income support payments, so it will all roll into one, and new measures to ensure benefits fulfill job seeking obligations. More infrastructure programs as well. A cut to the Tourism Australia budget down to $148 million. An extra $410 revenue to be flag leaking visa application program charges to annual CPI increases. A commitment to homelessness. $381 million funding for homelessness services through 2019-2020, and states will be sanctioned if they don't meet agreed homelessness targets as issued by the states. And the big one, of course, is the cost of the roll your own cigarettes and cigars to increase, and they will be taxed at the same rate as manufactured cigarettes. I want to know what that word, but cigarettes. So there you go. And that's interesting to note, because that would make a killing. Because that's not only one cost. That's, you've got the filters, you've got the papers, you've got the tobacco itself. So will the tax be on those things as well, or will it just be on... that's interesting. Will it be on all elements of the make your own cigarette process? I don't know, I don't smoke, so I have friends who do, so I don't know. Will that be on the process? Something to consider. But that is the budget. It is more long term than short term. Again, it kind of does favour high income earners because of that 180,000 threshold coming off, so they get more money in their pocket come tax time. But again, if they have more money in their pocket, they spend it, I suppose is one argument to that. Meanwhile, we don't need wealthy people getting more money because, well, wealthy people have enough money as it is, but what can you do? What can you do? So there is the budget. And again, it's not... It's a balanced budget. We are talking about surplus here, so that's exciting. So it's exciting when people mention surplus in the forecasts. So yeah, take that for what you will. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, well, we are bringing back a segment that we launched back in April. We're bringing that back for another spin. It's news from around the world. It's headlines. It's headlines. News from around the world. We're still trialing the segment, so there. We might make it a regular segment, but we're trialing out. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's a pleasure, as always, on this wonderful Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to everyone and all the mothers out there. Thanks for joining us. It's 9:21. The Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. We're doing it for Geek.io. It's Mother's Day. There you go. It's also Sunday, is what I wanted to say as well. A bit of both. Bit of column A, bit of column B. Thanks for joining us here on a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here. Now, back in April, we trialed a little bit of a segment here on the show, and I wanted to try it out again, but we've refined it a little bit. We've called it News from Around the World. We're still trialing. It's still a trial and error whether we make this a regular segment or not. Here is its theme, and we're going to jump straight into it after this. Hello everyone and welcome to News from Around the World. I forgot what my own segment title was. Theresa May seek early election. British Prime Minister Theresa May shocks the UK political world by calling for an early election in the search for a stronger mandate on the topic of leaving the European Union. In an unexpected statement at Downing Street, May said she'd be seeking a vote on June 8th, less than halfway through the government's five-year term. Opposition parties say they would not block the move, sending Westminster into full-throttle election mode. The European Union brushed off May's announcement by saying it would not affect the negotiations on Britain's departure. But May's decision means that Europeans' three most powerful nations, France, Germany and Britain, will converse by an internal election campaign at the same as the same time ticks away on 2-year deadline to complete Brexit negotiations. US militarily defends the dropping of mother of all bombs in Afghanistan. On Friday, US military defended the decision on to drop its most powerful non-nuclear bomb on ISIS positions in Afghanistan, describing it as a quote-unquote tactical move. The GBU-43/B Massive Audience Air Blast Bomb, or MOAB, was dropped on Thursday night on a network of fortified underground tunnels that ISIS had been using to stage attacks on government forces. The strike in Nangarhar province near Pakistan border killed 36 ISIS fighters, Afghan officials said. The US military previously estimated ISIS had 600 to 800 active fighters in the area, but unclear whether it had hoped to strike again. The blast destroyed three underground tunnels as well as weapons and ammunition, but no civilians were hurt, Afghan and US officials said. Major electricity crisis strikes Gaza. The only power plant in Gaza has run out of fuel, leaving 2 million residents on the coastal enclave, only 4 hours electricity a day, and what the UN cautions could be a tipping point to making the country quote-unquote unlivable. The Palestine and the West Bank Hamas in Gaza blame each other for the energy shortage. The US airstrikes hit Syrian mosque, a report released Tuesday by the Human Rights Watch saying a mosque was destroyed in US airstrikes. Quote, the US seems to have gotten several things fundamentally wrong in this attack, and dozens of civilians paid the price, unquote, said Ode Sulling, Deputy Emergencies Director at Human Rights Watch. Quote, the US authorities need to figure out what went wrong and start doing their homework before launching attacks and make sure it doesn't happen again, unquote. The US military said in March that the airstrike killed, quote-unquote, several terrorists at a meeting location of senior Al-Quiria tourists in Al-Arab. And the world's oldest person dies. Emma Moana, the world's oldest person and last known to be born in the 1800s, has passed away. She was 117. The Italian born on November 29th, 1899. She held the Guinness World Record titles for oldest living person and oldest living woman. Quote, she joined our celebrated Hall of Fame with her amazing achievement when she was announced in 2016 as the oldest living and was officially confirmed as the last person to be born in the 1800s, Guinness World Records said in a statement on its website. And that is news from around the world. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday, it's 9:30. Hold on tight. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you on a Sunday on this wonderful Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. It's a pleasure to be here as per always. We're doing it for Geek.io. Thanks for joining us. And that's right. This week saw the end of, I'd argue, one of the best pop culture events still to this day. I think it's still a huge, deal in a lot of people's eyes. In a dramatic moments, the 22nd annual Eurovision Song Contest, Portugal was victorious. Salvador Sorrel's Gentle Amor, Pado de Ros, in respect to most, in many respects, an uncontroversial Eurovision song with no screws, frills,
every day we need
wind machines
to surpass.
Come on, seriously, hang on.
This is my story.
Courage. Hang on, there we go. Now you're muted. Ha! Who wins now? Not you. Okay, we're getting some of that up, by the way. No frills, no wind machines, and it restored powerfully both jury and audience. Australia, competing for the third consecutive year, came in ninth this year, unfortunately. Here we go. Here's some of that song.
Sozinho, talvez devagarinho possas voltar. Que regresso.
It won't differ in any way. I'll have a tour, you know, a summer tour in Portugal, and I'll just continue to do my life. This is fun, and let's not forget these things are. You win today, and tomorrow nobody remembers about you. So you have to continue doing a great musical job, and that's what I'm going to try to do.
And I think our ear sometimes is so overwhelmed with everything that is happening that when someone comes and sings something very simple and very straight to your heart, it works 10 times more.
It don't come easy, and it don't come cheap.
Okay. Yeah, did skip around there, but that was winner of Eurovision 2017, Salvador Sobral, and his songwriter, whose name I cannot remember. There you go. It was a strong placing. There you go. It would land lower in the ranking, but yeah. Ninth place for Australia. So there you go. Australian born and raised Nurja Nelson, who was representing Denmark, came in 20th. Ugh. The Sydney Morning Herald also drew unflattering attention to our flag with a stunt which saw a streaker attempt a stage invasion. That was funny, by the way. Here you go. The final rankings saw the top 10 countries being Portugal, Bulgaria, Moldova, Belgium, Sweden, Italy, Romania, Hungary, Australia, and Norway. The jury pinned Australia 4th overall. Once the audience voted applied, we slipped a little to 9th, which suggests that our representative Isaiah Firebrace's performance won over professional juries of Europe, but didn't relate well to the TV audience, which I could kind of see that. His voice was kind of a little critically. Speaking to Fairfax Media during the telecast, Firebrace said he was thrilled with the result. "I'm happy with that, especially coming fourth from the jury vote was incredible," he said. "This whole experience and my time in Kyiv has been amazing." Watching the leaderboard keep updating as the audience scores added, Firebrace said the process was quote-unquote crazy. "It was so crazy seeing the placing after the jury vote, and I overthought everyone was feeling a bit anxious," he said. Quote, "I had never feel experienced like Eurovision before," he added. "Something he would treasure forever," he said. Australia's head of delegation, Paul Clark, said the result vindicated our preservance. Isaiah's talent as a singer is good as anyone in the contest tonight, as good as the winner, he said. He's a 17-year-old with incredible talent. Yes, there is that. Australia's second-place performance from Dimmy in last year seemed to have inspired a lot of stage centerpieces and huge gowns. And Sweden's success in 2015 is no small way prompted other countries like Astragan and Cyprus to recruit Swedish songwriters. So the semi-final called... culled 36 countries down to 20. Armenia, Austria, Australia, Astragan, the country I can't say, Belgium, Belarus, Bulgaria, Croatia, Cyprus, Greece, Hungary, Denmark, Israel, Moldova, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Portugal, Romania, and Sweden. Those countries went up against the host country this year, Ukraine, and the quote-unquote Big Five. France, Germany, Italy, Spain, and the UK, who automatically booked slots in Eurovision Grand Final. Though the competition itself explicitly forbids political measures, cannot talk today. Though the competition itself explicitly forbids political messaging from the performers, it did not escape from brushing a minor political kerfuffle in the lead-up. Russia's entrant. Yes. There you go. Wow. Really, Ukraine and Russia really need to just learn to get along. Wow. See, there you go. I said it. There you go. Clark said discussions over Australia's involvement in next year's competition will begin immediately. We have to ensure that Portuguese are happy for us to come back, Clark said. And we have to decide on who the strongest act into the finals. Clark said it was possible we adopt a similar system to Sweden, which uses national competition, the Mellofestion. Yeah. Mellofestion. I want a TV show called Mellofestion. To determine a quote-unquote winner who represents Eurovision. That's a decision at SBS now. There you go. It's a case of how we did it. Would we be able to bring Australian artists to a position where they feel comfortable to compete for that right? How much would it cost? And can we do that? There you go. The SBS. SBS would have made a killing off the Eurovision. It did really well in the ratings over the weekend. It did really well. It always does really well. So, guys, ad revenue you got from that, set aside, will you, for Eurovision 2018? I almost said 2017 because I'm a dummy, but we all knew that years ago, so that's not really a surprise. So, this streaker, there you go. This streaker that came through, I want to hear more about that. That's what I want to do. Oh, do we have the audio? Please tell me we have the audio. Oh, I want this to play. I want this to play now. For 3 years, Australia has graced the Eurovision Song Contest and earned praise for professionalism. This year, we went down in Eurovision history. Here we go. Who's the audio? I like this. He just entered the stage. Wow, he was tackled quick. Look how quick this was. Hang on, I'll say when he gets on the stage. Hang on, where we go. He's on stage now at 12 seconds and he's off at 17. Ladies and gentlemen, he's on and off again. Who is that guy? This is what happens when you let the Aussies join in. A bit of Eurovision right there. Oh, Jesus. What is his name? Former Ukrainian prankster. Oh, God. Balaluni Sadruk. Draped an Australian flag on the red carpet in Eurovision. Why was he an Australian flag? But I'm glad he wasn't Australian. Said Australian entrance Isaiah Fayer Brace. Nice. Nice. Assumed that he was an Australian fan, but he was a Ukrainian. Come on, Sydney Morning Herald, tell me why. I like the fact that the show presenters, the three show presenters, didn't make any mention of the streetcar. Good. Good on you. No, good on the presenters for not bringing it up. Good on them. They could have not shut up about that. Actually, I'm surprised. Probably the SBS people did. Those SBS hosts. Woo! SBS, if you're listening to me, send me. I'd like to go. I'd like to do an event like that. That would be good. Meanwhile, off Eurovision, because there wasn't really much to say, I've got a video here, which I'll see what this is, but it looks quite interesting. Imagine if you're walking into a store, trying on a jacket, then deciding not to buy. The next time you walk past the shop and peer into the window, you might just receive a push notification to your phone offering a 10% discount off that jacket.
Will the airports of the future feel like a Cheers episode where everybody knows your name and your face? Well, it's already happening. And here with the story is WFJ Middle Seat columnist Scott McCartney. Hi, Scott. Great to see you. Things are already a bit more automated at airports, aren't they, with everyone on their smartphones?
Yeah, a lot more on automated. The smartphone apps can provide directions at some airports already. There's already in use around the world in different parts of facial recognition software that's really speeding up passport control lines and things like that, and also providing more security. You're going to see a lot more automation, a lot more personalization, and some robots too.
Interesting. So it's all just beginning now. Where do industry insiders say all of this is going? What about the facial recognition we hear about?
Well, facial recognition is already used in some shopping malls and other things, and there are multiple uses in the airport. So some airports are using it to just anonymously track movements of people. You can do things like see how long it takes them to get through security lines, so you know very accurately what the wait is. You can do things both with facial recognition and with beacons that can track that through Bluetooth technology latch onto your smartphone, can track your movements indoors, much like GPS, but it's indoors, so they can see how long you're waiting for your baggage or where you're likely to go. And I think we'll see a lot more facial recognition at Customs and Border Protection in the U.S. They're already using it at Dulles International Airport outside Washington, D.C. It's just much more accurate than an officer looking at a five-year-old passport picture and saying, yeah, I think that's the same person or not.
But, Scott, there are some people who get spooked by the idea of being tracked so closely. Can you opt out of any of this technology?
Well, you can in the sense that you can certainly turn off your phone or you can disable the Bluetooth is really all you need to do if you're concerned about them tracking. For most of these things, you're going to have to sign up and opt in so that if you want the phone to recognize you when you show up at the airport and give you directions and tell you, you know, the phone, if you register, can look up your reservation, know that you need to go to gate 8, tell you that it's a 7-minute walk to gate 8 and turn left and there's a bathroom on the way or whatever you want. So if you want that, you can get it. If you don't sign up.
Because the end goal is to make the whole airport experience more enjoyable, right, Scott?
Yeah, I think the idea is take some of the stress out of the experience. Make it a little more relaxed. If you know exactly how long the line is going to be at security, you can show up later. You could go if your flight is delayed and you're certain that you're going to get an update either on your phone or maybe on a screen in a restaurant that recognizes you through your phone. And then the screen says, hey, Scott, your flight to London is leaving in 23 minutes, that kind of thing. There are lots of aspects of this that can help people relax, go to the restaurant, enjoy a meal instead of feeling like you're a prisoner at the gate sitting there waiting.
It all sounds great, but will any of this technology make my seat any wider?
It will not. No.
Oh. Darn. All right. Sounds good though, Scott. Thank you so much for that.
That is a report on the rise of technology in, there you go, in airports. We do want wider seats. So this all came about because there was a video, there's a picture that went viral. This is hilarious. So his intention was to point out that people may not know the sort of demographics that have been collected about them merely by approaching and looking at the advertisement. The camera was not at a glance evident because it's hidden into the wooden design. So here's what the screen says. The screen says, it's basically the screen displaying a digital ad offering a two-slice deal. Crashed in its place was a black screen with words going, male, young adult, smile, glasses, attention time, 2015 out of 4,218. Wow, I don't know what that is. ID match 70, female, young adult, attention time, 219 out of 219. Glasses, no. It does say smile on it. That's hilarious. Match 70, match 60, no, okay, that's other people. So another person that says female, young adult, attention time, 219 out of 219. Weird. Match 71, male, young adult, attention time, 234 of 234. Don't know what that is. 71, more young male adult. God, match 73, had a field day. What's that say at the bottom? TCP, read 1 out of 1 byte. Change of sack at time. Stack at time. Change of sack. Ooh, you don't want a change of sack. Anyway, I could be change on that all day. So, yeah, that sparks an interesting conversation about facial recognition. And, wow, we just really need to get better at technology. There you go. We continue here on the Generic Live Show. Well, we only ask the important questions here at the Generic Live Show. Speaking of technology, we're going to explore one that may seem a little outdated to some people. As we continue here on the Generic Live Show, thanks for joining us. It's 9:51. You finally found the most generic live show. This is the Generic Live Show. Thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. It's a pleasure to be here as always. And, well, you know, sometimes you have technical difficulties and here we go. Things have just decided to start working. Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's Dale Campbell here with you. And happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers out there as well. Now, we ask the important questions here at the Generic Live Show. Is the camcorder dead? Video-ready traditional cameras are competing for their place. When was the last time you saw a full-sized camcorder? It might have been in a 1990s TV flashback scene, retro party, or even back in the 1990s. Video cameras, rarely devices held in palms, restored on shoulders anymore, but increasingly they're small waterproof blocks mounted on bicycles or, for more professional shooters, devices cunningly disguised as traditional cameras. Imagining leaders... imaging leaders, or emerging leaders, including Sony and Panasonic, are tipping these hybrid cameras as the future of video leaders, and sales figures appear to back them up. Plus, the hybrid cameras are adding features and power more commonly seen in professional video cameras. The Panasonic is the latest company to deliver a hybrid. This $3,000 camera, Jesus, can be used like any mirrorless interchangeable lens camera. Jeepers. But Panasonic Australia Imaging Senior... Get this for a job title. Imaging Senior Product Manager. Wow. Doug Campbell, no relation, says both it and its predecessor attract the most attention from still photographers, but videographers, both professional and enthusiasts. Its quote-unquote key target customers, he says, have become more professional videographers who will use this camera to produce everything from documentaries to music videos. The Panasonic camera will focus on partly fueled by ongoing demand for moving images, Campbell says. There you go. The new video focuses on allowing changing the mirrorless camera market, which is up 25% in 2014. So what does this mean from the death of the Handycam? Neither Panasonic nor Sony have launched a new camcorder at CES this year. That is the Consumer Electronics Show. Canon added 4K video recording to its camera rather than issue a consumer-friendly video camera. And Nixon issued a range of action cameras that shoot video as well as record one that records in 360-degree video. For its part, a Panasonic Imaging Network Business Director... Again, these job titles, man. This is where it's at. Imaging Network Business Director says the company will continue to target... I just had something flash up on the screen. Yeah, okay, I'm back. sorry about that. Adding greater motion picture advances to its mirrorless camera in the near future. Quote, towards the year 2020, 4K video will evolve to 8K, he says. It will be a totally new world. Motion and still pictures will merge. Super high dramatic range will enable photographers to create impressive images even in candlelight. Jesus. So I don't think... Oh, sorry, that whistle's probably going to set your dogs off in the neighbourhood. Also, I'm not sure... Yeah, the camcorder may be a little bit on the poor sales size, but I don't think the concept's dead. The concept for the camcorder's not dead at all. I think it's alive and well. It's not dead at all. So I think, alive and well, but the unit itself... maybe in a bit of trouble, so either take that as you will, or you can take that at face value, or do with it what you will. Anyway, that we have reached the end of the show. Thank you everyone for joining us here on the Generic Live Show for a Sunday. It's been a pleasure as always. I've been Dale Campbell, and we'll see you all next week. Have a wonderful week. Thanks for joining us. It's 10 o'clock.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.